This broadcast of the PJC Media Network seeks to present wholesome, thought-provoking, and entertaining content. However, the views expressed by the hosts of PJC Media are theirs and theirs alone. They do not reflect the views of this network or its affiliates. Please utilize listener discretion.
Hi everyone, and welcome to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. Each week, we feature different topics concerning issues that sometimes can be difficult to talk about. These issues concern children and adults who may be autistic, have Asperger's, or have mental disorders of any kind. We will discuss law enforcement and how they interact with these persons. Now, let's start the show.
Good evening, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. Tonight, we'll be talking about relationships, and I know all of us have been in one, not in one now, getting out of one, however it may go, but we have relationship issues one way or the other, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. And it is estimated that 30 to 60% of married people in the United States cheat on their spouses. And this number is even higher for people who are dating, which means that if you have a boyfriend or girlfriend, they're more likely to cheat on you than they are to stay faithful. That's kind of... Well, I guess if you think about it, why would they be more tempted? Well, I guess because there is nothing that cements them together like a piece of paper. So I guess they're right. And I was reading it in a magazine, and it said one way to tell if your significant other is cheating on you is how they use their phone. I think all females know that. Cheaters are very protective over their phones and who can have access to them. They have locks on them, frequent private phone calls from a quote-unquote relative that they need to kind of step away for. Or they change passwords frequently, which means that they're hiding something. So I'm asking you, public, some people say that we live in a time where anyone can cheat anytime. What do you think? With social media and hookup apps, it's easy for someone who wants to cheat to do so. I have an issue with, I don't know. I want to know what you hear first, what you have to say first before I start. And I'm going to go to a commercial, so you can collect your thoughts, because this is a really hot topic. So I'll be right back.
Is your food bland and you want to spice it up? Does it taste like something is missing? What's missing is my seasoning, Butch's Bodacious Seasoning, all-purpose seasoning, good on absolutely everything but ice cream. I'm Linda Porter, President and CEO of Butch's Bodacious Seasoning. To get the spice back in your life, call me at 313-393-2738. You won't regret it. Thank you.
If you are in need of life insurance, auto or home insurance, or need help in getting out of debt, call your helpful insurance agents at Prime Financial Services. Did you know? If you add a child rider to your life insurance policy, you can add multiple children for the price of one, starting at $10,000 worth of coverage for under $10. Call today for a free quote at 313-293-0979. Mention you heard this ad on this show for a free gift.
We're back with Let's Talk About It with Jenny White.
Okay, and we're back with the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show. And the topic for tonight is your partner cheated on you. Now what? And we were talking about the phones. That's one way you can tell whether or not someone is cheating on you, is how they use their phones. And then I mentioned about the dating sites. You know, they have all kinds of dating sites out there now, and you can go to them and do a profile on them. And I guess everybody is into online dating. You have Tinder, you have OkCupid, or there are many other sites. I'm not familiar with sites because I don't go on them. But if your partner is cheating, it's about 99% likely that they are online chatting away on an online hookup site. And some cheaters even join social websites built specifically for cheaters or people in relationships. It is typically very hard to track people down on these sites, but they have now some specialized research tools they call Truth Finder, and they say this tool searches all the popular dating sites for you if you have a suspicion that your significant other is using one of these websites. Then you can contact or go to Truth Finder and they will search them for you. Now, I have a question. If you feel that someone is cheating on you, is that what you would do to try to find out whether or not? Because I don't know. It seems to me that it's a little bit over the top if you have suspicions that your significant other is cheating. Are you going to go to those sites or whatever to try to catch him or her? And I'm pretty sure that if they're cheating, they might be on it. Do you really want to know? Do you really want to know? And if they're on it, then what? What do you do? That's what I want. Okay, listeners, all you have to do is press the 1 and then we can talk about it. Press that 1 and you'll be streaming live and you can talk to me. You can talk to me and tell me, what would you do? There are so many variables to this because some women don't want to know. But if someone is cheating, you know, it's not going to be long before they're caught or they're found out. If you have a friend that told you they saw your significant other at a bar talking to another person, would you tell your friend? Or would you want your friend to tell you? Now, you have to remember, if your friend tells you, that means they know. And if you decide to stay with the person, your friend knows, and they may call you weak or whatever. So how do you deal with that? How do you deal with that? I'd like for my listeners, I know somebody has dealt with cheating. I know someone has dealt with cheating. Okay, I'll tell you a story. There was a time, once upon a time, I should say, way back when there were no cell phones involved, and someone called me and told me that my significant other was coming over to their house, and they told me what time and invited me to come and see. Okay, so like I said, this was once upon a time. I decided, now, mind you, I didn't have any transportation, and they were on the other side of the state. I was on the east side, they were on the west side, and they invited me to come. I said, I don't have transportation. And they told me, don't worry about it. Call you a taxi and I will pay for it. So the funny thing is, I called a taxi and I rode over there. Now, they hadn't come yet. And so I, you know, and sure enough, she did pay for it. She paid for it. When I think back on that crazy stuff, it, you know, it's funny now. It wasn't funny then. But anyway, after a while, they came in and what is this, a setup or whatever? And, you know, they were coming up. I was going down. So I just didn't want to see them there. So I didn't care what happened. At any rate, that was something that happened once upon a time. What did I do? Now, I did not choose to stay. I, you know, it wasn't worth it to me. That was me, long time ago. It wasn't worth it. But I don't know. How many of you would have done the same thing? Would you not have done the same thing? What would you have done in that particular situation? Now we got a situation with Wendy Williams. Okay, I have someone that wants to talk to me. Good evening and welcome to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. We're talking about cheating. What do you think? Hello, Team 94.
Yep, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I have been through it. And it happened to me after being married 24 years. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, so, and I chose not to stay. However, I chose slowly not to stay, not because I wanted to stay, but because I wasn't leaving and starting all over. So I got all the ammunition I could. No, I did not have to go on a website to find out what was going on, because I've always believed that those things done in the dark always come to the light, and all I had to do was wait. And I did. And when I had enough, I went and filed divorce, and I was out of there. That was my choice because I, first of all, once you lose that kind of trust, there's just no way to get back into that.
That's true.
And especially after 25 years. And I think because, and you asked the question, if someone knew, would you want them to tell you? Yes, I would. I would want them to tell me. I don't need to hear blow by blow. All you got to do is tell me. And now I'm not going to go and blow up in somebody's face and have an argument, because to me it's not worth all of that. I don't do drama like that. I just want to know what I'm up against when I start making my plan A, B, and maybe a C.
Huh.
Okay. That's all I want to know. I think that there were other people who suspected it, but they didn't know how to tell me. I actually had my sister hint at it. She, it wasn't something that she knew for sure, but based on some things she saw, it was a very high suspicion that really was true. And I think that sometimes people don't want to tell you because they don't want you to get upset with them. And so you have to know the person you're talking to. And the other thing is that you think, well, if I tell her and she doesn't do anything about it, like you said, that person then knows. I actually didn't tell anybody, my sisters, what my steps were, because my sisters are not all that great at keeping their mouths shut. They wouldn't have went back to him, but I didn't want anything back to him through some other method where I had a plan. And that's because my grandmother always told me, don't let the right hand know what the left hand is doing.
Right.
And so I knew what I needed to do, and I knew how I needed to do it. Now, I did tell my mom. I knew my mom wasn't going to say anything, and that was probably the only person. And considering she's an attorney, that sort of made sense to me. You know.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think that maybe if you had a friend that told you instead of you finding out, and you decided to stay, you know, I've been married 25 years, I'll just stay, but your friend knows it, how do you still have the friendship, or are you afraid they may tell someone else? Or they may talk about, oh, she's stupid, you know.
No,
what do you
because
think?
I think that depends on the personality of the person. Most of my friends know me well enough to know that if I didn't leave, there's a reason I didn't leave, and the reason is probably very, very good. I have a child with a disability, and while some people, you know, I could have said, okay, well, I'm going to stay because I need help with this and that and the other, I stayed. So for that extra year and a half almost, because I had a plan. So I know that my sisters and them knew what was going on.
Stayed for that year and a half, you hadn't told him. Is that it?
Oh, no. I never told him I knew anything.
Because
the evidence falls out when the person thinks that they got you.
Okay.
So I needed him to think that. I needed him to think that he was getting away with this.
Okay.
Okay, and while he thought he was getting away with it, it made my path clearer to be able to do those things that I needed to do to prepare myself to leave. I was older. I think if I'd been younger, I probably would have handled it differently. But because I was older, you know, and had been in this marriage so long, I knew him well enough to know what he thought he knew about me. Okay? But as you say, yeah, a part of me really wanted to tell my sisters, only because they knew what he was, they knew what was going on. At this point, there were things that people just knew. You know what I'm saying? They
right.
did not know where I was staying. And I found out later, yes, they had conferences behind my back. Why is she doing this? And we thought that you was that much in love with him. I said, no, I was that much in love with myself. I was not starting over at 53 years old, which was how old I was at the time. I had to have a plan. I had a child. I had to have a plan. And so that's why. And so I knew that there was conversation going on behind my back. I knew that. My mother did, too. My mother never told me what the conversation was, but she alluded to the fact to me that maybe I should tell them because they're thinking one thing. And I said, no, because I also know they're going to talk among each other. And somebody, you know, I'm one of those people who watches a lot of movies. And you know how something is set up and somebody walks in the room and hears it by accident. I didn't want any of that to happen. I had a plan. I stuck to it. I stuck to it for a year and a half. It was the most miserable time in my life, but the only person who knew how miserable I was my mother. I had to make everybody else think I was happy as can be, and I was getting where I was. So that's just me. But now I have had friends who have been through situations, and they're really torn. And maybe, you know, I can fall in love easy, but I can fall out just as easy, too. When I know I'm being wrong, it's easy for me to fall out of love and still keep moving. And so that's probably the difference. I try not to get my life caught up into somebody so much that I lose myself. I did lose
right.
myself in the
relationship
after 5 years. But I kept enough of myself. I was good in my spot long enough that I didn't lose myself completely. But it's a hard thing to know that someone is cheating on you, because we had the conversation before we got married, and I said, look, if there's ever a time that you feel like you want to be out of this marriage, or whatever it is, you want to be with somebody else, or you just want to be out of it, say that to me. There will be no issues, because whatever is going to happen is going to happen. I mean, you know, it was no issues. But that's not what happened. He, you know, he never said anything, and he evidently was having this affair for probably a couple, 2-3 years.
Did you know the person?
Well, I didn't know her. No, she wasn't a family friend.
Okay.
But he had made, I found out afterwards, he had made enough enemies of people that we both knew. That the minute when, you know how you hate to tell somebody you divorced because you and he were friends of that person, you know, and so
you don't
want them to pick, so you try. Well, when you get to a point where you have to say, you know, so-and-so and I are getting divorced, maybe it's not somebody you hang out with all the time. Your friends you hang out with all the time, no. And it was amazing to me that every single time that I had to say, you know, we're getting a divorce or we're finalizing our divorce, I was waiting for somebody to say, oh, I'm so sad about that and blah, blah, blah. Every single time, what the response I got was, oh, my God, I was wondering when this was going to happen. I'm so glad you finally
did.
I mean, it was just amazing to me. So I gained much more by divorcing him than I ever could have by staying married to him in that situation.
Okay. I love it. So that's fantastic. The situation I was referring to earlier, there was no marriage involved, so it wasn't hard for me to
right.
do that. So, I mean, but I appreciate you for calling in and giving us your idea. Now what, for you, was that you got out of it Okay, and you got someone else, or you didn't, or are you flying by yourself?
Well, right now I am. I did have a, I guess, I don't know if you, at our age, if you call it boyfriend or whatever. For, I mean, I don't know what they're called anymore.
I don't either.
Because we were together for 3 years, so at some point he was something. But
okay.
I realized, I think going out of that other situation, I realized that I needed time to be all of who I was first. And so, no, I mean, I date occasionally and all of that, but I'm really not interested in being involved to that capacity anymore, because I realized when I got out how much of myself, my individual self, not necessarily those things to function from day to day, but things as simple as the colors that I painted my walls were a no-no. And,
okay.
And I can't, it's really interesting how much of me is in my place that was never in the place that he and I shared together for 25 years. So when you have been psychologically twisted like that sometimes, it's really hard. And you know, I don't say that I'll never be in a relationship or be married again, but it's not high up on my radar as far as the marriage thing is concerned. It's a little bit too much right now.
Okay.
And this is 8 years later. In fact, this month, next month would be the ninth year of me filing divorce.
All right. Well, you know, I know many women who have had a bad experience, and now they've been by themselves for a time, and it doesn't bother them. You know, this is a new time. This is a new time, because there have been women who would die and turn over and stand on their heads to keep someone who was cheating just to have someone.
Right,
so
right.
Today is a new day. It's a brand new day. And that's a good thing, because a lot of times we, and I mean males and females, we get out of one relationship and then immediately we get into another without having, you know, done anything for ourselves or gotten to know ourselves. Well, I just, you know, I don't have one, I got to get another one, you know,
right.
Not thinking, like you said, about yourself.
Right.
So that when you come into a relationship, you know, now I'm sure you want to know, what is he bringing to the table? Because I got this, and this, you know.
Right.
And if you don't have anything to bring to the table, you can keep stepping.
Exactly. And then what are you bringing emotionally? In other words, are you trying to get into a relationship because you think you need somebody who's going to cook every day? Because that's really not going to happen with me. Or just is not. Or somebody that sits up and watches TV with you all day and all night on the weekend, that's not going to happen with me, because that's just not me. That's not my life. And the thing is that those were the things that caused, I think, the break, is that I am a person who's out there doing stuff and trying to, you know, add to and do things with my daughter and all of that kind of stuff. And when you look back and you say, well, you need to quit doing this and you need to quit doing that because you need to be home. And at the point, I tried it. I did try it. And then I would be home and he would be up in the room looking at some baseball, football, whatever game or something else.
Right. Ignoring you.
Mm-hmm. Right. So why exactly did I stop doing stuff? You know, now I got to have a conversation with you. I don't even need to have that conversation, you know. And I've had this thing where, you know, there's been a couple of guys who wanted the relationship to go further. But what I realized was that, you know, I get into a relationship, oh, I love all the things you do, I love all the things you're involved with, blah, 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 blah. Then once you are in with them for a couple of months, it's like, well, do you have to do all of that? Well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
When you, so if that was an issue, we should never have even gone to base two, you know? So I just, it's hard. It's a fine line.
No, it's not hard when you know who you are and where you're going.
Right.
And you just keep putting one foot in front of the other. And they're going to be hard times. Oh, yeah, sure. You know, you might want to go to a wedding and one of your friends got married and you might say, oh, well, I'm not married and I don't have anybody to take me. You know, get up, shake it off and say, here I am, you know,
well,
and I'm here to have fun.
Where I've been fortunate in that is that most of the friends of mine who if they're kids are married or getting married or whatever, I'm the person that's involved in the wedding, so I got things to do anyway.
Oh, okay.
Usually doing something for the wedding, so okay, whatever.
Okay,
you know.
All right, you got it down. Right. Well, that's good. I'm glad you called.
Okay.
And thank you so much. I appreciate your comments. Okay.
Okay.
Have a good one.
You too.
Okay, I have another caller. And caller, how you doing?
Hello, Jenny White. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. You want to chime into the conversation. I'd like to get a male perspective, okay? So
well,
what do
you
want
know,
to tell us females?
Well, I'd say marriages and relationships are breaking up these days because people have too much information.
Uh-oh.
And that's what D.L. Hughley said. He said, you know, daddy used to have another outside family across town, and, you know.
Is that
nobody
what he
know
had,
about
he
it
said?
Didn't nobody know about it to the funeral.
Till daddy died, huh? Okay.
Until he died. Everybody came together. So too much information.
I don't think that could go this time.
Breaking up these happy homes.
Yeah, well, some people do that. They can't for whatever reason. I don't know. They don't know a lot about themselves, I think. And they don't know how to be, you know, truthful and just have one somebody. They got to have something. You know, a lot of times it doesn't mean that I'm going out on you because I like this other person better. That's not it. You know, it's just something that some men do, some women do too. So I'm not just putting that all on men, but sometimes people just do things. Sometimes they do it when they're drunk and they have an excuse then. Well, you know, baby, I'm sorry because, you know, I was drunk. I never would do that. That didn't mean anything to me because I love you, you know. Come on.
Well, if you get caught, you always going to have an excuse.
Yeah, I guess so.
Unless you just
I
don't
guess
care.
So, but that one doesn't work. But I think I mentioned Wendy Williams. And she's her own hot topic now. She's always talking about somebody else's marriage and whatever. Now hers is front and center. And from what I understand is that, you know, he was her executive producer and he worked at the same station. And from what I understand from TMZ, they were having a lot of flare-ups on the job to the point where she had to get more security when she was there. But they were always having flare-ups. And from what I understand now, he is O-U-T, gone.
Well, that's what they say. They say, you know, they changed the passcodes on the locks, and, you know, he's been fired. So he's no longer her manager. And
Well, I'm sure they had to give him a severance pay or something.
I don't think
he's just going to leave, you know, empty-handed.
Well, I mean,
I don't know about all that. I don't either. But can you imagine how she feels sitting up there talking about other people and her own marriage is gone? And I think because you've heard rumors down through the years, and this last time she said, well, don't believe what you hear, and she held her hand up with the ring and said, it's still here and it ain't going nowhere. That's what she said. But I So I guess, you know, she probably got tired of it. And then when they said he had a kid, now all of this is allegedly because I have no idea, but he had this woman and somebody took a picture of them and they were lying out near a pool or something, you know, just sunning themselves. But then they said she had a child for him. So I guess with Wendy, that was the final straw. You know, I've tried to do this all the years, and now that the child is in college and out of the home, you know, now we can just separate. But they have a lot. They have a foundation together. They have a lot of things that are intertwined. So,
well, they've been married for, you know, 20-something years, I guess.
Yeah, I know. And as she's so, at a, what is it, a halfway house or something, a recovery home, because she left her home. And, you know, I know she's having a bad time right now. But,
I think he, you know, similar to what your last caller said, seems like now that people know he's out the picture, a lot of people are coming back into her life, you know, people that, you know, she may have had bad relationships with, you know, that may have been because of him, you know, they're reaching back out to her and, you know, it's kind of like, okay, you know, we was wondering how much of this you were going to deal with.
Right, absolutely. I believe that too.
So I heard that she had bought him a $200,000 Ferrari that they, you know, him and his girlfriend was spotted in together, and his girlfriend was driving. And
oh,
that, you know, took over the edge, and she had the car repossessed.
I don't blame her. I don't blame her. He's going to find out. I don't know how much money he got. He probably has enough to support himself or the lady and his child. I don't know. I hope he does, because maybe he'll look back and say, you know what, this wasn't even worth it. Because you get a lot of guys.
Say you don't bite the hand that feeds you.
That's what I'm talking about. Because, you know, a lot of guys look back and say, you know what, she was crazy. And my thing is this, come on now. She was crazy when you laid down with her. So my thing is this, just, you know, don't abandon the child. The child has nothing to do with you two crazy people. So at least she's going on with her show and she's doing her Wendy thing.
Yeah, well, you know, she was on the verge of losing everything, you know, and it took her back to, you know, where she, I guess she relapsed, you know, went back to drugs.
Yeah.
So people, you know, cheat for different reasons, you know, whether it's low self-esteem, things that they're missing in their life, you know, or, you know, I think some people can drive other people to, you know, the arms of other people by lack of attention.
I don't believe that. Well,
what?
Oh, excuse me? Say you're driving someone. It's a choice that you make. I mean, okay, you don't get enough attention, just like the last caller said. She had to be home at a certain time. So she comes home, and her husband's laying up in the bed watching a game. I mean, he's not paying any attention to her, but she had to be home. So
why am I at
home, huh?
He knows where she at.
Yeah,
you know,
but
so
that's no fun.
He got to keep his eyes on her. Not for her.
Yeah, but she might have been having fun and said, well, you know, my husband wants me to come home and be with him, and he's watching a game. So, you know, there's a lot of variables. I think statistically they say that married people live longer.
Yeah, they do. But, you know, on average, men die before women, too. So, you know, figure that one out.
I've always heard that. I find that that's not necessarily true either, but,
it's true. I mean, when you buy life insurance, you know, if you've got a male and a female born on the same day, same year, same age, the male's insurance is going to be higher than the female's insurance. So, you know.
I wondered about that. Thank you for sharing that and explaining it to me, because I didn't understand why the male's insurance was higher than the female's.
Yeah, actuarially, you know, based on the numbers, you know, men die before women. So, you know, male's insurance is higher than female. Or the same
age.
Yeah,
okay,
so.
Well, I don't know, but. So, okay, say your partner cheating on you, what would you do?
Kill him.
Oh, no. Then they've lost their life and you lost yours too, because you definitely going to jail.
Well, they're going to hell and I'm going to jail.
Don't say that. Do not say that. Do not say that.
No, it's not that serious. I mean, you know. It's not one of those things, you know, I'm going to love you to death, or, you know, if I can't have you, nobody else can.
Yeah,
you know,
it's
just like that, and we can't get along, and, you know, you decide you need to cheat on me, then, you know, then we can go our separate ways. You know,
okay, that's what everybody should think. But, you know, some women, they'll stay. You know, and that's okay. That's true. That's true. I'm not, you know, knocking anybody and what they do. You do you.
Right.
Okay, I have another caller. You can hang on and make a comment if you like.
Sure.
Okay. Hi.
How are you this evening?
I'm fine. How are you?
Just fine. Listening to the conversation, I was thinking, look at what happened with Hillary and Bill. That was national anthem.
Yes.
And,
yes.
You know, a lot of people say, you know, and when I think of Miss Wendy Williams, she was giving out information that she felt would help in relationships. And it brings me back to mind, when the paper was popular, the newspaper was popular, we had a columnist, her name was Dear Abby. And people would write to Dear Abby about the problems they were having in relationship, whatever it is. And she was very good about giving information out and all of this. But then all of a sudden, she had to experience her home, her husband leaving her. I believe it was Dear Abby. And she said she was dumbfounded. She didn't know how to answer it. Didn't know what to do. When you think that your commitment is more solid than anyone else's, you know.
Right,
you're giving out information and stuff. And it isn't. Usually, they say chickens come home to roost or something like that. But anyway, I think about it because we used to love to read Dear Abby and all of this information she would give out. The same with Miss Wendy Williams. I feel for her because she was genuine in what she was doing. That's what I feel like. Even sometimes when she gave out the wrong type of information, I believe she was genuine and she did it from the heart. Because relationships involve the emotion, the heart, the will, the future, everything. When you put yourself in a relationship, it involves commitment and all of that. And when you find out that trust has been broken, that is something that's very hard to redeem. That trust that, you know, that you're able to trust one another, you're able to function as one. And that's what, to me, a relationship is. You function as one person. When something gets between that, it is ugly. It really is ugly. And I feel for her, but I'm now, as far as breaking up is concerned, that's a decision that she'll have to make. But usually what I can see is that when a person breaks off a relationship and they go about their separate ways, she's still going to look for a relationship somewhere else. So usually it's with someone else's partner who have broken up with her, you know. It keeps going on and on and on and on. And, you know, and first marriage, second marriage, third marriage, and this thing, they usually don't work at all. So So I was thinking, why not just, you know, you have to make the decision as to whether you want to stay or not. I remember reading in a positive thinking book a year ago, this woman had come to this psychologist, and I think it was Dr. Norman Vincent Peale. And she was saying that she had found out that her husband was cheating on her. And it hurt her so bad that she was going to get a gun and go there and kill his girlfriend. And she told him about it. He said, no, that's not the way you handle that. He said, first of all, you have to forgive that person for interfering in your marriage, your life. She said, you have to keep saying it to yourself that you forgive this person, that you forgive, that you, you know, you don't hold any ill feeling to it. She says, I can't do that. I can't do that. I'm going to go kill this woman because that's my husband. That's my husband, you know. And she kept on. He said, no, that's the wrong way to handle something like that. And he convinced her to start practicing, saying to herself, I forgive you. I forgive you. I don't want anything to hurt you. Until she said, but I don't feel that way. I want to kill this woman. That's my husband, you know. And he said, you know, you have to change it. But he told her how to do it. She had to say it like in her sleep, that she forgives that woman, that I hold no grudge, no nothing against you, and all of that. And her husband, you know, she said it went on until she said it finally dawned on her that she had forgiven this woman. And that no matter what, she wasn't hurt about it, she wasn't this, she wasn't that. She didn't confront her husband about it or anything. She said all of a sudden that woman dropped dead.
Oh.
She dropped dead. The one over, and her husband, I guess he got scared. He came back home and spoke. It has something to do. It's emotions. All this emotion is caught up in this whole relationship. How do you handle it? And he showed her, he used the power of forgiveness to break through all of that hardcore whatever. And she was figuring her husband back. And she was going to kill him. I killed the woman for messing up.
And that's another thing. That's another thing. Why do females always want to go after the other woman? It's not
because they want their husband. Yeah. I mean, you feel like you've been.
It's your husband. Go after your husband. Leave that woman alone. Because a lot of times he doesn't tell her that he's married.
Maybe
so,
you know if a man's married. You know if he is or not.
How
you know
you,
that.
So what,
because he has to go home at a certain time. No, go ahead.
You know, you can tell see the way they change. Their habits have changed. You know, the way they carry themselves has changed. He's doing something out there. You know it. You just know it.
So what do you
from your established relationship with this person, you know something is going on. Something is there.
What do you think about B. Smith? You know the.
Oh yes.
Chef,
oh my God, that's a good one.
Having acquired Alzheimer's disease, and her husband, you know, is still a caregiver, taking care of her, but he's got him a new woman now.
Yeah, moved into the house. The wife.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I heard
and he was
her.
Saying, but you know, but look at the relationship. He said he's got to take care of her, but he don't feel like he should life should stop for him.
Right.
I think that's what I read, something like that. But
so
move in,
what,
and
so,
she was the one with the money.
Right.
Yeah. So
right.
What do you think about that? I mean, is that cheating? You know, and he said that they had conversations, and you know, at this point, she doesn't know. You know who the lady is, and he's still taking care of her, so evidently he still loves her. You know.
Love takes on a different, I don't know what you call that love. Love takes
unless,
on, maybe
well, unless,
maybe,
unless,
maybe it bothers
unless
him.
It's a money thing.
Yeah. But,
I
it
think
seems
that's horrible.
It is, it's horrible.
That's
you can move your girlfriend in on, and it's horrible that she moved in there with her.
Yeah,
she said. I heard her on an interview. She said she had her own place, and she comes and like maybe you spend the weekends or something.
Yeah, right.
But she said she has her own place. So I did hear an interview. Him and her were on D.L. Hughley's radio show. And so, you know, he was asking questions. So,
I
look,
think
we can make
is...
anything look good in this law.
Yeah,
some
we try to anyway.
Yeah, I had a girlfriend. Girlfriend who was in the bed because she had came up to about 700 pounds. We used to call her, well, when I was in foster care, we called her the lawyer because she knew about all the things that she could tell you about foster care. She used to put on meetings and go around and all of this stuff for a lot of the agencies and stuff. Something happened with her. I think she acquired, cervical cancer. And I think she worked at the bank, you know, and make sure of it, and it was fine. But then her husband didn't want to be bothered with it because he didn't want to catch it.
Oh.
And he was going to school. That's what he thought. He didn't want to be bothered. Although, you know, there's nothing wrong with it, you know. It was that during that time that he should have been closer to her. She got upset. Then it was the woman that used to ride with him to work. I think he worked for one of the big three. And so she wrote back and forth and stuff. And so they began to like each other. And that hurt her so bad, I think she might have tried to go and maybe try going after the other woman. She might have tried to burn the house down or something. I'm not sure. But she started eating. And when she looked up, being so self-destructive and hurt because of his rejection, she found herself up to 700 pounds. And then she got in bed and couldn't walk. Well, her niece
wow.
and them kept her. You know, but she would be the one that would take in the teenage boys and things of that nature. She was good at fostering them very well, you know, and adopting and foster care of them and stuff. And they worked with her, you know. And she, you know, was very good with the kids, the boys that she had there and stuff. But she got us to almost 700 pounds and stuff. Come to find out, you know, a couple of years later, she died from all that. She said, I hurt myself. You know, I hurt myself. Trying to pull out, she said, I hurt myself. And she was, you know, and after she died, she tried to eat. I think she lost about 300 or 400 pounds because it had destroyed her health to the point where, you know, she died from it. Come to find out, when I was talking some years later with her relatives that kept her, he now has prostate cancer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going around a couple of miles.
Yes,
now, what's your story? You know, what's your story?
Hmm.
Now, you know, something like that. But it destroyed her to the point because he didn't want to have anything to do with her. The rejection was in, and rejection hurts anyway, you know. By your husband, you really need her more. You seem like you would be right there with her, her side, holding her hand, trying to talk to her, trying to bring her around, or trying to find some help, and here he is. He's thinking about himself. There is no place for selfishness in marriage, as far as I'm concerned.
You're right about that.
There's no place. If you're going to be selfish, you will destroy this. There's no relationship there.
You're absolutely right.
That's always convenient. But I remember that happened to her, and I was so hurt that when I saw her die like that. It is something to think about. And now Ms. Williams has to go on. She made this decision to go on with all the things that she had to put up with to go on and live. But then how is the court going to look at that divorce? Are they going to look at what she has, make it available to him, especially now that he has had this child? What about this singer? What was, you know, her husband sued her and she had to pay him. Who was it?
Oh,
a very
I
popular
know.
Singer. What's her name? Yeah, and she had to pay him. And his child, something like that.
Well, you know, I think Wendy has been getting a lot of support from some very popular, you know, some like movie stars and different things. I guess they've gone through that, and they're trying to, you know, help her out. So she may find, and I'm sure she knows a lot of people, and she can find a really savvy an attorney like the attorney that worked for Jussie Smollett. First, he was charged with 16 counts of doing wrong, and then all of a sudden, his case went away. So he had a very savvy attorney. So maybe Wendy, you know, somebody might do it for her. pro bono. Who knows?
Yes.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know, who knows? Because she does have a lot of people that are reaching out to help her. And that's a good thing because, you know, I'm sure she doesn't want to be a junkie again. You know what I'm saying? I think once you get out of that life, I don't know. I'm just saying something.
You still have to fight that. You still have to fight it. It's still a part of your flesh. You still have to fight it all the time. It's a fight.
Is that like being an alcoholic?
Yeah,
you're not supposed to be around.
The body does not die that easy.
You're right. A foodaholic.
Yeah, tell me about it. Tell me about it. Tell me about it. No matter what. No matter what. And I do hope, I know. Now, suppose she had made up her mind, well, I know all this, but I'm going to stay with them anyway.
Well, didn't you mention Maceo mentioned about the Clintons?
Yeah, I mentioned the Clintons.
You mentioned the Clintons.
There. And there are other things that that have been rumored that she has had to face as far as her husband is concerned. Not just the one
she
that hit
had
the
what?
Paper. There are other things that was rumored that he has been active in, you know.
Unfaithful to her.
Yeah, and
they have
a lot of
things that are intertwined too. And when you start off, you know, at first with nothing, you're married and everything, and when you get into stuff, you're getting in together. You don't have a prenup, you know. So I'm sure she will give him whatever it is, as much as her attorneys tell her to give him in order to get him out of her life. I'm sure. I don't think there will be any coming back on that one. Now, Hillary and Bill they're still together. So she was talked about. But, you know, people that sit back and talk about how, well, you should have left him, this, that, and the other, you know, they don't know anything. They don't know. All they know is that someone cheated. So automatically, you know, let's just cut them off.
Yeah,
but
well,
sometimes,
you got some men.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, you got some men that do what?
That's married, that's out here cheating with men.
Oh, please don't. Are they still doing that, down low thing?
Are they still doing it? I'm sure they've been doing it for years and going to continue to do it. Down low and up high.
You know what? I think that if I found my husband cheating with another man, I don't care. He gotta go. I can't handle that. I cannot handle that. But you know what? There was this people. They were on television. They were on the news. The daughter wanted to, you know, I think it was the daughter that wanted to be a guy I think that's the way it was. The daughter wanted to be a male. So she was too young. She asked her mother to get the whatever it is that you need to start changing. And her mom said no. And then the doctor said she was too young. Okay. Fast forward to her birthday, and for a surprise, her mother gave her the tube of whatever she had to start taking. And so the little girl started taking the stuff. Okay, now she's going to be a young man. Okay, how about a year later, mama came out. Mama came out. Yes. Is she not? This is a true story. This was on the news. Mama came out, and now she's a man.
What?
She changed too, and that was hilarious to me because Mama was married. So they asked the guy, you know, well, are you gonna leave her now that she's, you know, changed? And he said no, because I know her heart. She has a good heart. So he's gonna stay with her. What do you think about that situation?
Crazy, but I think they've got a thing going on right now at Morehouse where these, you know, young men down there are trying to transition themselves into women, and they still want to continue to go to the college and get their degrees from Morehouse that's transgender. And Morehouse say they ain't going for it. They say they're there to educate young men, not, you know.
And
not
you
young
know,
men
of course, you know they're going to sue them, and they're going to sue them because guess what? They have rights.
Yeah, well, they can sue
like
all
you don't
they
have
want.
Rights.
Would you say?
Like you don't have
right. Right. Like
sure
the man
Morehouse
that
does.
That wouldn't fix the cake. You know, he had rights.
He
won too.
His he went to the Supreme. He won his rights.
He sure
that's
did.
A
just like
that's a they wanted somebody different in the Supreme Court because the Supreme Court, they talk about this is going to be a living constitution. Living for who? They
yeah.
have rights, but you don't have it anymore. A minister has to turn his sermons in to be checked, but he won't mention anything about that condition. Or whatever.
Oh, you know, I haven't heard that.
Yeah, but you
if
know when they
started if you're receiving money from the federal government, then you have
yeah,
to turn your sermons up. Are you kidding me? Oh my!
The Christian
colleges
they accept federal money and they run their college the way they want to.
Wow!
They don't want the federal.
Yeah,
you know. Go ahead,
young
man.
Young men running around in skirts and high heels, you know, around Morehouse. That's, you know,
I know that's right. I know that's right. Why don't they transfer to Clark? Not Clark. What's the other
Spelman
one? The female.
they can't go to Spelman.
Well. They need to have their own little college then. I don't know what to say about that. And there was a woman on TV, and the reporter was asking her, she had had a child, and the reporter was asking her, you know, what was the gender of the child. She said her child was gender specific and that she buys dolls and she buys trains so her child can be whatever he wants to be. I've never heard that in my life.
They're trying to get it changed. The birth certificate would just indicate a child is born, not male or female, but just a child. So they can make up their minds later on what they want to be.
Oh, gosh. Oh, gosh.
But anyway, in relationship, it's
yep.
crazy. It
yep.
is crazy. It's getting further and further away from what it should be, what it has
right.
been.
From what God intended it to be.
Yeah.
And have you seen the picture, the Notebook, where this man, his wife, ended up with Alzheimer's, and he would go to the nursing home every day and be with her and read. And a lot of times she would get upset. Well, who are you and why are you here? And you know, she would go through her changes and he would try to calm her down. Sometimes he would have to leave and then come back the next day and he would tell her stories. He would tell her a story about two people that fell in love, that got married. What she didn't know was that he was telling her their love story. And, you know, in the end, he laid down on the bed with her, and they both died, holding hands.
That's beautiful.
That's the Notebook. Yeah, that was really something. But I thought it was interesting that he would tell her how they found each other and, you know, some of the things that happened. And she enjoyed hearing that, not knowing that he was telling her about their love affair. So. Mm-hmm. And the kids, I had a friend in New Jersey years and years ago, and her mom had Alzheimer's, and she would go and see her, and then she would come back, and we were communicating through the computer, and she would say, my mom doesn't know me. And then she would start crying. She really felt so bad. Her mother didn't know her. Yep.
I just, okay.
What'd you say?
That is something. Relationships are very important. Very, very important. And it consumes you.
Yeah, but you know what? We need each other. We really do. We need each other.
I remember this one minister shared a story. The woman said that she was her and her husband, they had children. And then he said he didn't want to be with her anymore. And so he left her, divorced her, and the children went to stay with another woman and helped that woman raise her children. They were gone. He was there with that woman for 30 years. Then when he got real sick, the woman didn't want to take care of him. You know, because he was dying or whatever, didn't want to take care of him. And so he, and the, just pushed him off, you know, all this. His
so he
wife
asked his wife, yeah. Yeah.
So she went back and she got him and just took care of him and nursed him and all of this, you know, until the day he died. And I remember, I think the minister for our church said, you don't have to just prove that you got the Holy Ghost. I know you got it. That love was still there. That relationship, as far as she was concerned, was still there. Although he went off and left her, she was committed to that. No matter what.
That's yeah, but you see what happened to him? Well, all I know is that the Bible says you're going to reap what you sow.
Oh, yeah.
And every single day, we put stuff out that's coming back. I mean, good or bad, but it comes back. Whatever it is, it comes back more.
Yeah.
You know, you may have done a little bit of bad stuff, but when it comes back, it's going to be larger than what you put out. And I always tell my Sunday school students, sin has a price tag that goes right along with it. There is a price tag. You can't tear it off, but you're gonna get it in the end. And, you know, something like that, when you hurt people like that, God sees you. He sees you. And it's coming back. People don't believe anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They don't believe. I don't understand
it. Yes, but it's the truth. It is the truth. Let's face it. Whether they believe it or not, it's happening. Thanks so much,
Sister
White.
You're right. Well, thank you for your comments. I appreciate you all the time. So, listen, enjoy the rest of your evening.
And happy holiday to you.
And happy Resurrection Day to you, too.
Amen.
Okay.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome. Thank you. Now we're talking about your partner cheating on you. Now what do you do? And we've had a lot of comments. And I don't know. I guess you do what suits you. No matter who says anything about what you did or you shouldn't have done that or whatever or how it goes, you have to do what you can live with. But I like it when the caller said that someone told this lady whose husband cheated on her to forgive that other person. To forgive the other person. She didn't want to do it. But she did it anyway. And it meant that when he got ill, he had to come running back to her. And she helped him. She helped him. But that's a feather in her cap, not his. So we have to really understand what we're doing to understand what we're doing. We have to understand who we are. And if you can't be straight with your significant other, just, you know, leave it alone. I know quite a few women nowadays, they don't worry about having a partner, and they're not gay. They don't worry about having that. They're doing what they want. their life is going great. And I think about what Oprah said, why she didn't marry Stedman was because she wouldn't be able to do everything that she does now, because it is a commitment when you're married. You do have a commitment. You have a commitment to your wife or your husband. And you have to honor that commitment. If you don't think you can, then, you know, don't do it. Don't do it. And if they cheat, if you prefer to stay, that's you and that's your life, and you can do what you want to with it within reason. I mean, you don't get upset at yourself because someone has rejected you, and then you want to get rid of yourself. You know, you don't do stuff like that. So there are any number of things that you can do. You can stay, you can go, whatever. Your choice. Your choice. Make sure you make the best one. I appreciate all of you that called, that some of you didn't make statements or ask questions, and that's good too. I really appreciate the fact that you call and that you support. That's what I appreciate, your support. So this is the end of the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show. And I will leave you with this. This is Good Friday. Don't forget, Christ died on Good Friday. But thank God he rose again on Sunday morning with all power in his hand. Do not forget that. Do not forget that. Give your life to Christ, and you can go to the good place. Don't give your life to Christ, and you can go to the bad place. It's your choice. You make the choice. And what I will say is that pain is inevitable, but suffering is optional. It's all in how you do it. So I'm Jenny White, and this is the end of the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show. Thank you.